get into the Word today. You excited about getting into the Word? Praise God. That's what we want to do. We want to get into the Word today. We want God's Word to speak to us. Today is Pentecost Sunday. I'm going to hold off on my Pentecost Sunday message only because I've got some things that the Lord placed upon my heart with our series of Living in Denial. And so I want to speak that message today. Next week, I'll speak about Memorial Day. And then the week after that, we'll do Pentecost Sunday. And then we will get into probably our summer reading program should be here very shortly. The book should be here. So we will definitely get into that. Amen. So go ahead and take out your Bibles. Turn over to Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. Those verses should not be strange to you. You should know them very well by this point. They are our scriptures for the year. I want to speak to you a message entitled, Tipping the Scales. Tipping the Scales. If you've been with us for any amount of time, and most of you have, we have been spending this year looking at the theme of living in denial. Living in denial, that's been our theme for 2021. And what we've been doing is we've been talking about living with a choice of two different lives. Our earthly, temporal would mean temporary, one that's going to go away, one that's going to disappear. That's one life we can choose from, or we can choose our heavenly, eternal one. And we've been looking at these things and the decisions that it takes to make these things happen in our lives. And I think for me, it seems to me, and maybe you think about this too, that the choice would seem to be a no-brainer. Why would you not choose eternal life over temporal life? Why would you not choose heaven over the things of earth? But when we observe humanity, including ourselves sometimes, come on, let's be honest, let's not talk about other people, let's talk about ourselves today too, amen? When we observe humanity, we see that sometimes this can be a very hard choice. It's not always an easy choice to make. It seems like it should be, but there are other things there that make it not so. Or at least it is not one that is recognized as really important all the time. And that messes us up in some of the things that we find. And that's what we're going to talk about today. When we talk about this living in denial, I want to talk about this life that we think should be just, we don't have to think about it, but that there is some thought today. And I'm going to bring up some thoughts today that I think will help you make some of the adjustments in your life and make some of the ideas in your mind about what's important and why we should live it this way. So let's give some recap. We don't need to go much into it because it's all online. You can get all of these messages online. But let's give a little bit of recap this morning to bring us up because we've been in our Easter series for 4 weeks. We did a Good Friday service and those types of things. Let's get into the Word today. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. It is our theme scriptures for the year. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus says here, make the right choice. He must become our desire and the center of our lives. He should be the very thing that we have need of each and every day, and he should be moving in our lives in a great way. That desire for Christ, these are all the messages that have brought us up to this point. That desire for Christ will make us a follower of him. That desire for Christ will make us a disciple of his teachings and for his cause. That desire for Christ will make us all a servant for the kingdom of heaven. And one who follows after him, behind him, allowing him to be out front in our lives, to be at the forefront of everything that's going on, allowing him to lead and to be truly our Lord, our master, our owner, and our decision maker. If you've taken OSL level 1, and even if you haven't, you've heard those words enough, you know what Lord means. Our master, our owner, our decision maker. That desire will cause us to take up our cross, to be marked as his follower and as one who had broken the law and needed his rescuing and his saving. One who is willing to lay down our lives for his life. Besides what that means about possibly dying for Christ, we're talking about surrendering our wills to him. We're talking about surrendering our ideas about life and success over to Him, and we're talking about surrendering our dependencies to Him as well, or making Him our main dependency. In other words, we are dependent upon Him totally. We need to do that to overcome and to follow Him in every area of our lives today. Do you know that? Amen? Amen. And then in our last message, before the Easter messages, we spent some time looking at what Jesus' idea of self-denial were. Jesus' ideas of self-denial. We said that self-denial truly was seen at the cross. And we saw what Jesus really modeled to us when He went and allowed Himself to be nailed to that wooden cross. Philippians 2, 5 to 11 gives us a better idea. Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's what the cross was all about. That is total self-denial. God came to this earth in this weak and failing flesh. He came to serve us in His life and in His death. We also said in that message that self-denial is taking care of others, putting their needs before us, ourselves, and our needs. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to control how we live life in this world that we are living in. That means the relationships that we have and how they impact each other and how we help one another. It's caring about the church, and praise God, it don't stop there, but it's the church, that's us again, caring about the world around us. I'm sure that I shared this before, but one time my father and I had an argument. I was a teenager, and I went out to my favorite place. I was running away. Well, running away from me, because I knew that I had it very good at the house, was going out to the shed to think about things. And so I went out to the shed in the dark. We didn't have electric out there, but Dad always knew where to find me. And I went out there, and I'll never forget my dad's words. And they sounded so vicious when he said them, but I understood them because he knew that I had been called into ministry. And he said these words, not to hurt me, but to grow me up, to mature me. And he said this, I'll never forget. These are his exact words, if not the closest thing that I can remember to them. He said, "Kenny, you will never be able to be a minister unless you learn to love people. Kenny, you will never be able to be a minister until you learn to love people." Now that hurt when he said it. It stung, but you know why it stung? Because he wasn't tearing me apart. It stung because I knew it was true. I don't remember what the situation was that led me to the shed. It was probably a situation with one of the boys who Dad moved into the house, and maybe my jealousy, whatever it was, because that wasn't always a smooth time for me when other boys came in and moved into my room and shared my things with me. But Dad was right. And it's something that I've learned through these 30-something years of ministry, that truly I can never be the minister that God wanted me to be until I learned to love people. And that brings us to, and I bring that point up again, you've probably heard that before, I bring that up again to the third point from that last message. Self-denial is valuing people. Self-denial is valuing people, seeing ourselves and seeing others as God sees them. Let me tell you, if God was willing to send His Son, brothers and sisters, to die for us, then every one of us are so valuable to Him. He would have never given Jesus to die for us if we weren't of value to Him. And we need to make sure that other people know that they are just as valuable to Him and valuable to us, because as His children, we understand that they are valuable to Him. This morning, I want to look at the last scripture from these verses for the year. Matthew 16, verse 26. "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? When I read that scripture this week in preparation for today, the picture that the Holy Spirit brought to my mind was one of those scales. You know the scale we see used for the law? The big stick that sticks up with the arms coming off and the dishes. And what you do is you put something in them and it weighs them out depending on the weight. The scale tips to the one side of the heavy thing. And this is what I saw in my mind as I was getting ready to prepare for these messages. This scale that would tip one way or the other, depending on which side of it was heavier, depending on which side of it contained the heaviest material. Now think about this, because I started this message with the thought of this question, of the world or the soul. It should be no-brainer, right? That's what I said. It should be a no-brainer. We should know. I don't want the things of the world. I want the things that are going to make my soul in heaven for eternity, my spirit in heaven for eternity. That's what I should want. And we should say, well, that's a no-brainer. But as I said, again, in the beginning of this message, that's not always the way that it is. Many people, even believers, struggle with world or eternity. World or eternity. Things of the world, things of God. And so I want to talk about that today. Too many times to me, it seems in my own life and in Christians who I counsel and in people who I counsel who don't believe, it seems that the world just continuously wins out. And I don't think that's the way it should be. Eternity, our lives with God, our time with God should win out. The scale should be tipped so far. And that's why this message is called Tipping the Scale. Tipping the Scale. So what I want to do in this message this morning, if you will allow me to in the time that's allotted, is I want to look at some of the reasons of why this happens, why the world wins out in tipping the scale over the things of God. And hopefully in sharing these 4 points today, you are going to be thinking about what you can do to tip the scales in the favor of eternity and your life. That's my goal. That's what I believe this is all about. And as I've already prayed, Jesus, just do it today. Bring your word to life. Let your anointing be upon us and make a difference in our lives. Make a difference in our lives, God, because of the things that you are speaking to us today. Amen. 4 things that I want to look at that hopefully are going to get you thinking about your life and eternity and the things of this world. Tipping the scale. Number one, we live in the now. What's the problem with the world winning over the spirit, winning over the eternal? I'll tell you what it is. We live in the now. We're impacted by the now. Because of the way that we experience time, and because of the way that we experience living in time, and because of the brevity of that time, the shortness of that time that we live in, we tend to focus on what is happening now instead of what will be happening later. Why? Because we're impacted by the now. One of the reasons that we're so focused on the now, and one of the reasons that we're so impacted in the now, is that simply we feel if we can get what we want now, if we can accomplish something now, then the future is going to be okay. Can I tell you something? You don't know what tomorrow holds. Can I tell you something? You have no hold over the future. You could amass great wealth. You could amass great health, and something down the future might still trip you up. But we forget, in trying to live in the now, we forget what God says about life and what God says about future. James 4:13-17, listen to what God says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, we'll spend a year there, we'll buy and we'll sell and we'll make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord wills, if it's in God's plan for our lives, then we will live this and we will do that, or we will go here. Verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is a very serene thought, I get that. But it is a very important one, church, that we need to keep in mind this morning. What is that thought? This life is short. Many times I hear it said like this, usually at funerals. Wow, this life is too short. God says this life is like a vapor. Have you ever seen a vapor? Here and gone. One minute we can see the vapor, and then silently it just wisps away. You know, at the men's retreat every year, we do a fire ring. We start that fire on Friday night, and that fire burns completely till Sunday morning. During the night when we sleep, it may go down a little bit, but usually it's still hot enough that in the morning, we can just get it going with a little air and get it burning again. We love fire on the men's retreat. But as I watch and I sit at that fire, it's amazing to see the smoke. And you know, wherever you sit, the smoke goes. Did you ever notice that? No matter where you move around the fire, the smoke will follow you. So I've just learned, you know what? I might get a little smoke in my eyes, but I'm going to sit here. Why? Because that smoke that's coming my way is going to disappear. It just wisps into the air, right? It's a wisp of smoke, and then it's gone. That's what God says about life. And then he gives us the answer for such a short time on this earth. What does he say here? Give it to God. Don't say, we'll do this. Don't say, we'll plan for this. In other words, say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this. If the Lord wills, we'll be about this. If the Lord wills, we'll be able to do this. Live your life for God. Seek God's will, church, every day. Seek God's will every moment. If you want to truly live in the moment, which we all do, right? For now is all that we really know. We have a past, and some of us don't even remember our pasts. But this is all we really know. We don't know the future. But if you really want to get the most out of the moment, listen to me here, you might want to write this down. If you want to get the most out of living in the moment, then make sure that you live in God's moment and not your moment. Make sure that you live in God's timing for now and not your timing, because that is the moment. The God moment is the moment full of power, full of possibility, because it's full of God's presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. We also tend to forget that God, what God says about our life. What God says about what happens after this life. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now, there are some religions around the world that believe in reincarnation, or they have some other view of eternity. But God here gives us the truth from Paul's writings. There will only be one life. And when that life is over, we are each going to stand before God and be judged for the way that we lived it. I don't think people believe that today. I don't think some Christians believe that today. At least I don't see it the way we live. Those of you who have been to many of my funerals, any of my funerals that I have presided over, you have heard me say this: nobody can really preach your funeral service. Why do I say that? Because no matter what I say about that person, there are people sitting in the pews that know that person from the way that they treated them, from the business that they did with them, from the relationship that they had with them. And no matter what I say, it's not going to change their mind about who they knew that person to really be. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is this: we preach our own funeral services by the way that we treated those around us whom we came into contact with. I ask you this today: what will your funeral service say? Not come sit with me in my office and let's plan it out, but what will your funeral service say by the way that you lived life, by the way that you cared for people or didn't care for people, by the things that you said about people or didn't say about people, by the things that you did for people or didn't do for people? What will your funeral service say? I think we all need to think about that. So this life is fast. This life is over, and then we stand before God and we give an account for how we lived it. I think that it would do each and every one of us good not to live in the now, but to live with a mindset geared toward our eternity. I think this is going to be another message down the road a little bit in living in denial. It seems on Wednesday night that God was working some things in my heart. Brother Glenn taught a great Bible study. If you didn't see it online or you weren't here, catch it online. This Living in the Resurrection Reality is going to be a great series, church. Don't miss it, okay? And I think it would do us all good to have a mindset for eternity and not a mindset just for the now. What will that do? It will tip the balance out of the favor of the world into the favor of eternity, into the favor of God, into the favor of your spirit surviving through eternity. That's the first point. The second point goes right with this. but I wanted to make sure that it's reiterated and made clear. So this goes with point one, but it had to be a separate point today because I think God wanted me to get something clear to each and every one of us. And the second point is this: we forget that life is really short. We say it all the time. We say it at funerals, wow, life is short, but we don't always live like it. If we understood that life was short, it would be like the bucket list, right? We would be doing the things that we know to be doing, that we should be doing. But we don't always live that way. So we forget that life is really short. Besides what we just talked about prior to this, in that last point, it would be a great thing to think about this in another way. Think about what? Think about life being short. There's another way that we should think about that. Here's what I'm trying to say. Listen to me. If life is so short, and we were created in the image and the likeness of God. What is God? He is an eternal being. He lives forever. And so if this life is so short, but we're created in His image, we're created to be eternal beings, then what does that say about real life? You know what that says? That says that real life is not the 60 or 50 or 70 or 80 or 90 years that we are on this brief interlude in earth, living on earth. Right? That's what it says. That real life is truly what happens after this brief life. That true life is what happens after the body is laid down. That we are not truly living life now, but this life is just leading us to the true life. Amen? We need to think about that. That should be a constant thought. Someday this flesh is going to lay down. What have I done to lead me to eternity? Have you ever had a really good dessert? Maybe you're at somebody's house or maybe you're at a restaurant and you take a piece of cake or you take the pudding or you take something that you really like and it's just really, really good. And what happens? If it's a really, really good dessert, guess what? It's not enough, right? It's never enough for me. And what happens? You finish it much too quickly and what do you want? You want more. Now, I don't know whether you can get more of that or not. Maybe it's all gone because you were at a house that was full of people. Maybe it's too expensive in a restaurant, or maybe you can get more of that. Maybe your host says, hey, would you like another slice? Would you like another scoop? Sure, I'll take it. Doesn't matter whether you can get it or not, but what does matter is that you want more. What am I trying to say? When we really get a hold of the life that Jesus Christ came to give us and that God created us for, what we live in the 60 to 90 years, if we live that long, will never be enough. You will always want more. And that's why we should remember that this life is short, because this life is not all that life should be. It leads us to another life that is all that life should be. So this is just a taste of the dessert. This is just a taste of the cake. We want more. And praise God, through the death and resurrection of our Savior, we get to have more. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We need to think about that as we live right now. What are we doing? What are we living for that will just make this eternity in heaven that much more? We should be thinking about that. Let me give you another example. How about this? Go ahead and check your phone or watch. Something with a minute hand, something with seconds, something that you can time, okay? And go ahead and look at that. I'm going to set something here. Let me see if I can find mine. I have a stopwatch here. Oh, I should have thought about this early. I'm so sorry. Where's my stopwatch? There it is. Great. Didn't work. There we go. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to hold your breath while you look at your phone, whether you look at your stopwatch. I'm going to ask you to hold your breath. And the next time that you need to take a breath, go. So you're going to start the clock, hold your breath. When you have to take a new breath, stop the clock. Okay, ready? Everybody good? Let's go. Remember, if you have to catch a breath, of course, I just had to catch a breath. If you have to catch a breath, go ahead and hit stop and see what kind of time you can hold your breath for. We used to do this as kids in the pool, remember? Hope you're all doing good. It's quiet in here. one minute. Anybody still holding their breath? Minute and 15 seconds. Minute and 30 seconds. Feels like an eternity, doesn't it? Minute and 45 seconds. Two minutes, stop. Whew. Right? I don't know if any of you made it to 2 minutes or not. I surely didn't because I was talking. But why did you take your next breath when you did? Why? Because you needed it. You needed to breathe, right? I needed to breathe. I needed to take my next breath. Exactly. So when you know that something, and the reason why I did this was this, when you know that something is that vital to life, like life after death, right? Having life after death, that's vital to life, right? To living on. When you know something is that vital to life, you tend to be very happy when you can get it again. And so many of us are like, oh, I remember being in the bottom of the pool holding my breath, right? You're down at the bottom, you can't breathe, and you're like, oh, your face is turning red, and you come up, oh, right? Why? Because we need to breathe. Our bodies need air, our cells need air, our body needs air to operate. My brothers and sisters, listen to me with that, with those two examples, the cake and holding your breath. My brothers and sisters, we rob ourselves. Listen to me. We rob ourselves when we live this short life as if it is all that matters. As if this is the only cake we're ever going to get. As if this is the only breath we're ever going to get. We cut the blessing short. Can anybody say amen? We cut the blessing short when we forget that life is really short for a reason. And that is because the best is yet to come. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a clap. The best is yet to come, praise God. Hallelujah. What's this life that we're living on this earth is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the beginning of really living. I've heard it said that our short time on earth is just a practice session for what we will really experience when we get into heaven and we enter into the eternity in God's presence. Can you imagine? The Bible says, mind has not thought, ear has not heard, eyes have not seen the good things that God has in store for his people. Don't let the fact that life is short get you depressed, but rather let the brevity of this life focus you for what is really important and for what is really forever, and that is the life that God has promised to us. We should be living now for the glory of God. Every day we should be living for the glory of God. Amen? Let's get to our third point. The third point has already been spoken in this series, but it needs to be restated. Just like the second point was already touched on, the third point is a whole message that we talked about. But here's the problem of why the world sometimes tips the scale against the things of eternity and against the things of God, because we desire the wrong things. The message that I preached, if you want to go back to your desire, was on February 28th, and the title was simply called My Desire. My Desire. And in that message, I talked about Jesus being our desire. Maybe I could also make this point by saying this: we are content with the wrong things. Not only do we desire the wrong things, but we are content with the wrong things. And when we are content, church, with the wrong things, the scale will always tip in the direction of where that contentment comes from. That's where we will end up. That's where we will put our time. That's where we will put our effort. That's where we will put everything else. Perhaps most of us need a new prayer in our lives. Amen? What do we need to pray about? We need to pray this prayer. Listen, Lord, bring me to a place where my dependency is totally on you, hallelujah. Where I don't depend on anything else. Everything else takes a backseat to your glory. Everything else takes a backseat to your presence. Everything else takes a backseat to your kingdom. God, give us a dependency that is totally on you. Now listen, I think that's a prayer we all need to pray, but be very careful about praying a prayer like that, because when you pray it, if you mean it, something will happen, but the end result will always be worth it. What will happen? God will do something to turn your dependency toward Him. But know this, it could be a failure of something else that you trusted in. It could be a falling out of something else that you trusted in. But know this, the end result will always be worth it when your trust turns to the things of God. Amen? Amen. The saying may sound like a cliche, but it's still very true today. Your treasure is where your heart is. Your treasure is where your heart is. I say this a lot in different messages, but it doesn't hurt us to hear it again. And there might be someone who's hearing it for the first time, so listen closely. If you want to know what you are worshiping, if you want to know what you are living for, just look at your bank account statement and look at your calendar. Because the place where you are spending your time and the place where you are putting your money are the things that you are worshiping and the things that you are living for. We will never want God, church, if all we want are the things of this world. We will never look to heaven, church, if this earth is our home. In that message, what I said was Christ needs to be our desire. But today I want you to know that heaven also needs to be a desire in our lives. I want to focus on the eternal. I want to focus on where I'm going, not put tent pegs down, not just camp out where I'm at. I want to go where God has made for me, where God has created for me, and live in it. Amen? And then lastly today, in talking about ways that we tip the scale from the favor of the world to the favor of our lives in Christ, the last problem is that, listen to this, we think that we can earn enough to pay the price for our souls. This is the problem with humanity. We want to be self-sufficient. And so we think, it's not that bad. I can make amends for what I've done. That we can jump through the right spiritual hoops to earn God's grace. That we can say the right things to fool God into accepting us. That we can be good enough in something or be good at something, enough at something to sway God's heart toward us. That we can serve penance to a degree that would make God happy. But in thinking these things, listen, church, when we think those things, when we think that we can jump through the hoops, when we think that we can pay enough money, when we think that we can be good enough to do these things, the one thing that we forget is the true price of our sin. Romans 6:23 is very clear. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That is the wages of all sin, not just some sin. We have a mindset to think, well, that's that sin. Well, that's, I've never done that. Well, I would never think of doing that. No, that's the price for all sin. That's the wage for all sin, death. And in the same chapter of Romans, we discover this amazing fact. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the wages of sin is death, all sin. And guess what? There's nobody sitting in this church today that can say, I've never sinned, so I don't deserve death. No, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a fact, Jack. Take it to the bank. There is nothing that any one of us can do to get God to forgive us. There is no amount of money that we can pay. There is no amount of time that we can give. There is no amount of self-torment that we can whip ourselves and beat ourselves that we can do that will bring us fallen man. That's what we are, fallen man, fallen from God's design, fallen from God's presence, fallen from God's plan for mankind, from sin. There's no way that we can bring ourselves back into His grace, back into His presence. Why? Because eternal life is simply a gift from God. Amen? Simply a gift. It's simply a gift. I don't give you a gift because you've earned it. That would not be a gift. That would be a reward. That would be a bribery. I give you a gift because you are important to me. I give you a gift because I care about you. I give you a gift because it is just something that I want to do for you. It might be your birthday. It might be some other special date. It may not be nothing. It might be just that I was shopping, looking online, doing something, and I saw something that made me think of you, and so I bought it for you, and now I give you a gift. But if a gift is truly a gift, there should be nothing attached to it. If a gift is truly a gift, there should be nothing that you have to do to earn it. What am I trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. God loves you. It's that simple. And for many people, God's love is not simple because they can't imagine that God loves them. But it is simple. God loves you. And because he loves you, he sent his son to die for you. Why did Jesus come and die for you? Because God loves you. And there is nothing that you and I could do. There is no way that we could act differently. There is nothing that we could try to be that would make God love us anymore. God just loves you. The reason that many people, in coming back to the theme, the reason that many people are losing the battle between the things of this world and their soul is that they do not understand how much God loves them, and they do not understand what that love has done for them. And if you are that person, whether you're online or whether you're sitting here in the house this morning, you just heard me tell you in announcements that we are starting a level of OSL level 1, and that is all about the love that God has for you. Take it. Sign up for it. It will change your life. Church, let me bring this to a close today. Do you know how much God loves you this morning? Do you know how important your soul and eternity are? Tip the scales in the favor of eternity today. Tip the scales from the things of the world into the things of God. For what profit is it to you if you should gain the whole world but lose your soul today? Stop living in the now and look forward to your glorious future that God has promised you. Stop fussing about life being too short and not being able to do all the things you want to do, and begin to focus on where this short life leads, to a very long, to a very blessed, to a very rich, to a very fulfilled life in eternity. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for eternity. Make Jesus and make the heaven that he has created for you, the mansion that he has created for you, make them the desire of your life today. And recognize that the price has been paid. There's nothing that you can do to make it any more, to make yourself more worthy of it. It's already been paid. There is nothing that you can do. Christ has already done it on the cross. Tip the scales. Amen? Tip the scales in your favor. Tip the scales from the things of this world to the things of heaven. Tip the scales from the denial of godly things to the world, now to the denial of the worldly things to God. And your life will be blessed, and your life will be rich. Doesn't mean that you won't go through things that you don't understand. It doesn't mean that you won't experience pain here on this earth. It doesn't mean that sickness won't come into your body. But it does mean that when this life is over, you go to a better place that you were created for, that you were built for. You were never created for this life. You were created to live eternally. Amen. Amen.